Good morning and welcome. Glad to have you here at First Presbyterian Church of Westerville. If you're visiting with us, we're going to do some introductions this morning. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, and I'll be leading worship today, along with Reverend Heather Hicks, who will be doing the Especially for Children. John Robbins will be liturgist this morning. Todd and Kim Wise will be sharing their music, and Lynn Meyer will be playing the organ for us this morning. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a visitor card that are in the pew racks in the pew in front of you, and you can leave it in your seat in the pew or in the offering plates that are at the back of the sanctuary here. If you're visiting with us in our live stream at home, I invite you to leave a message on Facebook. And if anyone would like to find out more about this congregation, you can call the church office at 614-882-3155. We have a few announcements to share this morning. The first is that the flowers this morning are given by John and Ann McElhaney to celebrate their 55th wedding anniversary. And I understand, yeah. I don't think they're here this morning because I think they're on a cruise. So, nice. The fourth Monday group will not meet on the fourth Monday this month. They'll meet on the third Monday, which is tomorrow night. Just a reminder, if anyone would like to be part of that group, you can give me a call. We just discuss theological and faith issues as they apply to life. And right now we're studying the book, Be the Bridge, Pursuing God's Heart for Racial Reconciliation. Our Lenten study continues, and even if you've missed either of the first 2 weeks, or even if you've missed both of them, you're invited to come this Tuesday night at 7 o'clock via Zoom. This Lenten study, each session is independent, and this week we continue to study the book Half-Truths, and this week's topic is God Doesn't Give You More Than You Can Handle. You may, again, register for the class by contacting me or calling the church office. Reminder that the Fabrics of Faith will meet on Tuesday, March 22nd at 1 p.m. in the lower level of the church. This group welcomes all knitters, quilters, and sewers, and anyone else who's interested in learning what they do for others. If you're interested, you can talk to Becky Stamm or Cheryl Weinberg. And finally, we need people to host our fellowship time following worship on Sunday morning, you know, what we affectionately call the cookie hour. You can host by providing cookies and the juice for a particular Sunday, and you can sign up in the sign-up book that's in the gathering area, or you can contact Sharon Davis for more information. Finally, I will be on vacation from Saturday, March 26th through Saturday, April 2nd. While I am gone, the Reverend Heather Hicks will be providing pastoral care, and next Sunday when I'm gone, the Reverend Jennifer Eastman Hinkle will be our guest preacher. Reverend Hinkle is a graduate of Trinity Seminary here in Columbus and a former pastor of the Dublin Presbyterian Church. She lives in Worthington with her husband Frank and their two children. She'll be her sermon title for next week I just received is called Welcome Sinners. You're all welcome. Now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Thank you. Let's call one another to worship. A new day has dawned, God's gift to us. The Spirit of God is upon us. Come and be made new.
We are a new creation, Jesus Christ. The old has passed away, the new has come.
Let us all who are faithful offer up prayers and songs and shouts of thanksgiving.
We will be glad and join in the dance of life.
The community of faith, we rejoice and sing. Let us worship God. Join together in the prayer of confession. Merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart, mind, and strength. We have not loved our neighbor as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive us. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways. Glory to your holy name.
Amen. In the cross, we see God's amazing love for us. We are God's children living in a confused world. Thus, in abundant grace, God answers our doubt, heals our pain, and forgives our failures in grace. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven and set free in grace. Thanks be to God forevermore.
Thank you. going to invite our young friends to also participate in our worship today for those who are here, and invite the little child living inside each and every one of us to also be a part of our worship service. Jesus said, "Let the children come unto me." That includes us, that little children deep inside all of us. I have something very special with me, and it's the first day of spring, so I thought, what better to bring to church today than some seeds? I have all kinds of fun seeds here. I don't have any flower seeds today, but I've got things that I like to put in my garden outside and have a little bit of fun with. So I've got summer squash and tomatoes and peppers, and I actually have some celery seeds. I've got spinach seeds and garden bean seeds. I've got lots of seeds with me today. And seeds are pretty special, aren't they? Because we know that when we put a seed in the ground, and when we tend to it, when we water it, and we make sure that it's getting the nutrients that it needs and the sunlight that it needs, what happens? It grows. Something changes. It's no longer a seed. It starts to grow. It wiggles out of that little shell of a seed, and then it puts roots down, and it starts to grow up toward the light. And then what happens? We have to wait, right? We have to wait a really long time sometimes a couple of weeks, maybe even a month, and then it starts to grow fruit, or vegetables in this case. I've got a lot of vegetables here. But a seed is so important because God gives us the image in the Bible of us being like a seed. And, you know, that seed can't grow by itself, can it? It can't grow by itself. It needs us to help it out, or it needs Mother Nature to help it out. God and Mother Nature helps the seed out. And just like us, we need to be tended to, don't we? Because we have to grow, we have to eat, right? We got to learn, we got to grow and go up to school and learn things. Maybe we learn things at home, too, about how to take care of our family, be a part of our family by doing chores and cleaning our room and maybe helping make dinner. All of those things we need to do, too, right? Did you know that God is always tending to us? That's pretty neat, isn't it? You know, when we think about a seed, when we plant a seed, we've got to make sure that it's got the right nutrients, don't we? Because it won't grow properly if it doesn't have the right nutrients. And sometimes a plant can develop a problem, can't it? Maybe it'll have mold or some kind of fungus trying to grow on it. So we have to take care of it, don't we? We might spray it a little bit to make sure that those things go away so it doesn't have those things. And God does that for us too. God is always tending to us, making sure that we have the nutrients that we need, making sure that we are growing in the way that we should. Maybe God is offering us a little bit of sunlight. God does all these things for us. And you know what? God does that because God wants us to produce just like these plants that we're going to grow from a tiny seed. God wants us to produce good things, wonderful things. So I want you this next week to think about, and maybe you can come share it with me, either in the comment section for those who are visiting virtually, or you can come tell me personally, Mr. Andrew, what are some fruits that you are producing in your life for God? Maybe it's helping mom with a project, or maybe it's helping dad to bring something inside, or maybe you were kind to somebody at work or in school. We all have good fruits that God is expecting us to produce because God is providing all these wonderful things for us. So let's go to God in prayer. Almighty and loving God, we are so thankful that you have faith in us. Even when you planted us as a tiny seed, that we were going to grow and that you were going to nurture us and that we were going to produce all kinds of wonderful and amazing fruits just for you. We thank you, O God, for having faith in us. And we have faith in you, O God, that you're going to continue to guide and nurture us in the best way possible. We give you thanks for all of these things, O God. And it's in your most precious and holy name that we pray. Amen.
For the first day of spring, we thought it might be appropriate to sing one of your favorite Scottish folk tunes that you didn't know was a Scottish folk tune. Probably brought there by the monks that settled in Mull in Scotland. Morning has broken like the first morning. Blackbird has spoken like the first bird. Praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the world. Sweet the rain's new fall, sunlit from heaven, like the worst dew fall on the first grass. Praise for the sweetness of the wet God. Sprung in completeness where God's feet pass. Mine is the sunlight, mine is the morning, born of the one light Eden saw play. Praise with elation, praise every morning, God's recreation of the new day. Sing the first again. Morning has broken like the first morning, blackbird has spoken like praise for the singing, praise for the morning, praise for them springing fresh from the womb.
I figure if you're going to preach on the scripture, you better hear it read, yeah. The first scripture is from the book of Psalms, and it's titled The Psalm of David When He Was in the Wilderness of Judah. Listen carefully for the word of God here. O God, you are my God. I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as a dry and weary land where there is no water. Though I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands and call on your name. My soul is satisfied as with a rich feast, and my mouth praises you with joyful lips. When I think of you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night, for you have been my help. In the shadow of your wings, I sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. The New Testament reading is from the book of Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9. Listen carefully. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way that they were worse sinners than all the other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will perish as they did." Of those 18 who were killed, or when those 18 were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will perish just as they did. And then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" And the gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." Listen and appreciate the word of the Lord.
Thank you, John. And no, I would never want to step on the scriptures. But Todd and Kim's music just got me hopping up there. Thank you, Todd and Kim. Let us pray. Lord God, as we reflect upon your holy word this morning, we ask that your spirit work within us and amongst us so that what I say and what all of us ponder in our hearts might be acceptable in your sight. Amen. I was struggling with some significant questions this week. Questions like, why do we call that time of day when the traffic moves the slowest, rush hour? Or why do we call freight moved by ship cargo, but freight moved by wheels shipments? Think about it. Right? Or why do we call where we park our cars the driveway, but where we drive our cars the parkway? Okay, these are some fun, meaningless questions that come to us from time to time, don't they? But then there are the questions that come to us that are not so meaningless, the bigger questions of life, like what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Or why are things so difficult for me? Or perhaps most especially, why do good people suffer? These are basic questions of human existence, questions that have bothered humans since the dawn of time. So it shouldn't come as a surprise that people, on more than one occasion, confronted Jesus with questions like this, especially the last one. Why do good people suffer? We can almost hear this question asked in our lesson that John read this morning. Why did those people get killed during their worship in the temple? The ones that Pilate had killed is the question that Jesus seems to be answering in his response. While we don't know the details of this incident beyond what is told to us in our reading, it is clear enough that it was a gruesome affair. And then another tragedy is brought up to us by Jesus, that a tower collapses, causing the death of 18 people. We don't know why Pilate did what he did, and we don't know anything about the tower collapsing and killing the bystanders, but whatever the details are, such tragedies make people wonder. Why do things like this happen? And it shouldn't surprise us that people brought such questions to Jesus, seeking his answers to these seemingly unanswerable questions. It's the same sort of question that we bring to God all the time. Why did so many people die on 9/11? Why do we have to endure the pandemic? Why is God allowing there to be a war in Ukraine? Why did those worshipers die? Why do you ask? And to be honest, the death of those worshipers is confronting. It doesn't square easily with our understanding of God, a God who intervenes for God's chosen people, who lives and protects them, and who surely would not allow the holy temple to be violated. It is no wonder that such questions were being asked of Jesus. For such questions address a fundamental human problem for us, don't they? It confronts our most basic and fundamental moral intuition that bad things like this just don't happen to decent people. Deep down, we all sense this, that good should be rewarded and evil punished, and that bad things should only happen to bad people. Good, clean living, hardworking people like us should somehow be protected from all those bad things that happen out there. And within us somewhere, we want this to be the way of the world. And yet, this does not square with how we experience the world, does it? Indeed, incidents like the collapsing tower or Pilate's brutality confront us, and not only as intellectual questions, but as fundamental issues, basic to who we thought, who we are, and what we thought the world would be. At its most fundamental level, they remind us that we are vulnerable, and that is not a comfortable place to be. Which is why people were bringing these questions to Jesus. Surely these people must have done something to deserve God's punishment. And whatever these victims did, the questioners wanted reassurance that they weren't doing it. The victims must have done something bad, so that is why bad things happened to them. And so, as they brought the questions to Jesus, they had to be thinking, and since I'm not a bad person, these things won't happen to me, right, Jesus? And that is what they wanted to hear from Jesus. They wanted to hear that these things wouldn't happen to them. But Jesus wouldn't give them that answer. Jesus won't assure them that they are safe from the tragedy and evil. Instead, he reminds the people that they are not any different than the victims. They do not have any special elevated status that will protect them from earthly pain. Centuries later, St. Augustine reflected on this reality in writing The City of God. During the great suffering that occurred when the barbarians sacked Rome, Augustine noted that Christians suffered just as much as everyone else. What Augustine did note was that, quote, Christians differ from pagans not in the ills that befall them, but in what they do with the ills that befall them. And this was Jesus' point to his questioners. In essence, he was telling them that they are asking the wrong question. They should not be asking why of these things as much as they should ask about what are they going to do about them. Being a disciple is not about what happens to you, it is about what you do with what happens to you. For Jesus, this meant repenting or getting oneself right with God. Jesus is forcing all of us to ask ourselves what sort of Christians we are and what sort of fruit we are producing. Jesus concludes this dialogue with a story of a fig tree that isn't bearing any fruit. Rip it up, the boss says to the gardener, but the gardener says, give me one last shot. Let me care for it and see if it doesn't produce something worthwhile. Jesus is reminding his disciples that we are all fig trees called to bear fruit, and we are all given the chance to bear that fruit. The life of discipleship is about preparing for the future, bearing fruit that will nourish the world, even if it is a world we can't control or even fully understand. Facing the reality of the mystery and the limits of what we can know about God's universe is not an excuse to stand still for Jesus. Jesus is on a mission, and those who would be his disciples are on a mission with him. We may not know the why of the tragedy and evil, but we know the what. And the what is what we are going to do to comfort those who are suffering. Christian scholar Benjamin Elijah Mays once said, faith is taking your best step and leaving the rest to God. In this passage from Luke, Jesus is taking his own steps towards Jerusalem and the fulfillment of his ministry on the cross. And we who are following him are told that we need to take our steps as well. I learned just yesterday that in the Presbyterian Church, this is Fred Rogers Day. Happens to be the anniversary of his birthday. Fred Rogers, Presbyterian pastor and children's TV icon. With his birthday today, it seems appropriate to think a moment about him. And he was asked once on how to talk to children about tragedies that happen in the world. How do you talk to them? How do you explain it to them? And his answer was to say that, tell them what my grandmother told me. Whenever you see something terrible happening in your neighborhood or on TV, look for the helpers. There will always be helpers. For you see, that was Jesus' message to us, to be the helpers in the world. We can think about and worry about and wonder about and agonize over why these terrible things happen. But if it causes us to stand still, then we've missed the point, haven't we? We may think about those questions, but Jesus tells us to move on, to bear fruit, and be the helpers in the world. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Holy God, we come before you in prayer, lifting to you the joys and concerns, the hopes and the dreams of our lives. May we also be open to your voice in our lives, that we may see with new eyes and hear with new ears the direction you will have us go. Bless, we pray, this gathering of your people, that we may grow and flourish in your love and grace for the purpose to which you have called us. Make us ever aware of the need of those around us and show us how we can address those needs with the resources you have given to us. Open our ears to the cry of the oppressed, the beaten down, the silenced people, so that in hearing we might answer with your words of mercy and hope. We pray especially for those in Eastern Europe on this day where the horrors of war rage. We pray for those as well in other parts of the world where violence and the threat of violence is used to threaten and oppress people. Hear our prayers for those whose lives have touched us, O God, those who are in pain, those who are ill, those who grieve. Hear our prayers for those who are facing difficult decisions and don't know where to turn. May we touch their lives, not only through our prayers, but through our actions as well. Guide us, bless us, uplift us, hold us, for we are your children, called to your purpose in your world. Hear our prayers, those spoken and those hidden in our hearts, as we pray together in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now if you'd all stand and join with me in singing the congregational response. Peace, and may the blessings of God be yours this day and forevermore. Amen.